Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mr. President, I appreciate you allowing me to join you on this incredible journey. I thank you for the trust that you placed in me. And I think that we just witnessed the greatest political comeback in the history of the United States of America. And under President Trump's leadership, we're never going to stop fighting for you, for your dreams, for the future of your children. And after the greatest political comeback in American history, we're going to lead the greatest economic comeback in American history under Donald Trump's leadership.
He's turned out to be a good choice. I took a little heat at the beginning. But he was, I knew the brain was a good one, about as good as it gets. And we love the family, and we're going to have a great 4 years, and we're going to turn our country around, make it something very special.
There you go, President Trump and President and President-elect and former President. I don't know what term I'm supposed to use now. Let's say President-elect. I'm just going to say President Trump. I don't care. And Vice President-elect J.D. Vance, I guess not technically yet because you'd have to have certified elections and all that. But, of course, that's the reality of it. Wisconsin having been called now after Pennsylvania got called for Trump. Michigan is leaning. He's going to win Michigan. Just think about that. Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. This race was supposed to be so razor. He's going to win Arizona and Nevada. He's going to win Alaska. I mean, they haven't been called yet, but, you know, that's what's coming. He's going to win every single one of the battleground states. Every single one. It's not going to be close. I told you yesterday, this is what I thought was going to happen because I thought all the polls were going to be wrong. And I don't ever want to hear from a presidential pollster again, ever. Or any, like, look about, you know, like Florida. Oh, Florida's going to be competitive. Come on. I mean, come on. Miami-Dade went right. South Florida Jews voted for Trump, among others. The big registrations, as Jeremy Evans pointed out last night, huge move for Trump. The whole country shifted right. And I don't know inside the mind of individual voters, but it's always hard to, you know, project into other people's psychology what you think might be true. But Kamala Harris is a weak candidate who wasn't elected to be the candidate. She was selected, not elected, right? And I suspect a lot of people voted for Trump. I mean, black males voted for Trump. They weren't buying what Kamala Harris was selling. You know, so a lot of things to be taken away from this. But, also a lot of local impact to this. Very, very interesting stuff locally. For example, if you were looking forward to the Escambia County to extend the 0.5% sales tax for local option sales tax for schools, that did get extended, okay, by a big margin, 68 to 31. Not a surprise. A very similar proposal, not the same, but a similar proposal in Santa Rosa County, the 0.5% increase to a 1% local option sales tax, and this would be only for infrastructure, you know, roads and drainage and stuff like that. And that failed by a big margin. What did I say yesterday, John? Escambia would pass, Santa Rosa would fail?
Yes.
Because in Santa Rosa County, y'all will do what? You hate taxes.
Right.
You hate taxes. Even the most reasonable tax proposal, you hate taxes. I know a lot of my friends who are in favor of this tax, they're like, this is why we can't have nice things. Well, people have to vote for it. That's the nature of a tax. Now, I do think that the fact that the county commission is very pro-impact fee now, very pro-probably mobility fees, concurrency, whatever they do, they can't put a sales tax in, but they can, you know, the impact fees went away because the sales tax didn't pass, but the impact fees will come back, okay? You have 4.5 votes for something like that, I think. You know, Colton Wright is going to be the only one that I'm not sure about, but I think everybody else is going to vote for that, and he may vote for it too. So we'll see the particular shape of it. So that's an interesting split between the two counties. The referenda. not super surprising. The one that surprised me is I had thought marijuana was going to pass, even though I was terrified it was going to pass. I had thought that it was going to pass. And it actually underperformed Amendment 4. Both of them failed. 55% for marijuana, you got to get 60. And 57% for abortion, you got to get 60. I thought the abortion one was such an extreme one that it wouldn't pass. It came close, just 2.75% shy in a heavily red state, right? And marijuana came shy by only 4.12%. The consensus, and in both cases, I said this last night, I'll say it again. In both cases, if they had gone for less, they would have gotten a win. If they had gone for something like just Roe, you know, first two trimesters, they would have gotten it, I think, easily. Probably 65-70%. But they didn't. And if they had gone for just straight up legalization, you know, like something simple, they probably would have gotten that. Because it's the controversy over the nature of that amendment that cost it, you know. If they hadn't gotten greedy and tried to get all the protectionism and the, you know, legal protection, and if they had just, if they'd have sunk $150 million into just decriminalization, it would have passed at 70%. My own prediction. Okay, but it did not. And then the one about fishing and hunting, I'm very concerned about what this means for state efforts to limit hunting or limit fishing to, you know, certain seasons, times, restrictions, catch limits and all that. Time will tell whether that's going to hold up. My read of this amendment is you can't do that. You got to let hunting and fishing be the primary tools of conservation. So now it's in the Constitution. Y'all put it in the Constitution. I say y'all because I voted against this one, 67%. And then number five, to increase your homestead to buy a little bit by the cost of living. Public campaign financing will still exist, but that's such a small thing. Partisan school boards are going to not yet, which is good because I like the electoral process that we have right now compared to the partisan electoral process, which is terrible. Other stuff coming up in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, and even 98 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I got a fun text in from somebody who says the legislature should legalize only home grow as an absolute stick it to the marijuana companies.
That would do it.
Oh, man. If you legalize only home grow and a certain plant limit and no commercial sales at all. Oh, that's funny. that would be an epic troll of the marijuana companies in the state of Florida. It's 617 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the other big news item from last night. A couple of big news items, but the other big news item from last night, Pensacola City Council stays exactly the same. Both Tenny Day Broughton and Jen Brer won their elections handily. Stephen Barry in the county commission in Escambia County won over non-party affiliate Josh Robertson pretty handily. So we know the county commission. It's the same as now, except that Jeff Bergosh is gone and Steve Stroberger is in. And now we have name problems. Commissioner Stephen, which one? Barry or Stroberger? Commissioner Blingberger. Which one? Stroberger or Hofberger? Ah!
And this is going to be fun watching you go, oh.
I was actually typing something out last night. I was typing out, and I found myself typing on a sound clip that I was editing, interview Michelle Salzberger. No, wait, that's not her name. It's going to infect everything I do. No. City of Milton, dramatic inversion. All four incumbents lose. You now will have a 6-2 split. That is, the Pitchfork Posse allies are now going to control city council. And so that's going to be Mayor Heather Lindsay and Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrell will finally have the allies. And actually, the fact that Mayor Lindsay is the mayor won't really matter unless it turns out that some of the four split apart from each other and they don't vote as a block. I don't know. We'll have to see. They're, you know, to be installed. But I give you, this is a 100%. You ready? This is a 100%. 98%. Alex Andrade is going to have more free time now. We actually talked with him last night about that, and he's willing to serve, you know, whatever the city wants, but it's their prerogative. And sadly, Ed Spears is going to, I think, that'll be it for Ed Spears while they look for another city manager, because we've been really, really good at finding city managers in Milton so far. Now, I would say that one's like 80%, okay, just because I don't know what these four people are going to do. And I suppose, time will tell. But big inversion in total vote them out movement in the city of Milton. 619 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And, if you need a new vehicle or, just a replacement vehicle, I shouldn't say new. I guess that technically means brand new. But no, if you need new to you, right? Frontier Motors has great quality used vehicles. Cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition. And you can drive them for a long time. They warranty them to 10 years and 100,000 miles because they only buy A-quality cars, okay? So when you go to buy a new car, what's reassuring about it is you feel like you're the first owner. You're the only owner, right? All the warranties are in place. Okay. Well, when you buy a Frontier car, you're not the first, but all the warranties are still in place, plus the 10 to 100, and you have the confidence of knowing that they pre-select cars that are only good cars. And so you get that same kind of new car buying confidence, even though you're buying a used vehicle, which makes me thrilled. That's why I love them so much, because they want to sell you all the cars you ever buy for the rest of your life and your family and your friends. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Anderson Subaru has more Subarus than ever before, which makes this the perfect time to get the Subaru that you've always wanted. How about an Outback starting at $26,802? Crosstrek starting at $25,262? Or a Forester starting at $29,378? You'll love your new Subaru, and now you'll love the savings. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm going to ask you the question that I'm going to allow you to completely feel free not to answer. Do you have any interest in talking about the Milton elections?
I get my knife back, most likely.
You're going to say the thing out loud. That's what I've been saying is, it looks like all four seats are going to switch. That's a 6-2 split. And, let's just say that the ones that were the twos, they're likely to be the sixes. They're not your biggest fans. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's a legal client. There's no secret that, unfortunately, somehow me giving direct and accurate advice, legal advice, to that council became politicized, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But at the same time, until they make that decision, My sole job is to give them honest and accurate legal advice, and if they take it, that's up to them. So, that's I'm not emotional about it, although I do have a deep respect for the folks on the council that I've served with, you know, that I've represented as a lawyer. I have a deep respect for them. My heart goes out to them this evening, but as a lawyer, it's the client's not any one person when you represent the city. So until or unless if they decide to go in another direction, I will gladly pack up my my laptop and get my nights back and spend more evenings with my wife and daughter.
It's the least painful, if it happens, which, you know, it's a lot of ifs between now and then, but the least painful termination of a relationship, I think, that anybody that you could possibly have. So,
Alex Andrade, and you could hear it in his voice, you know, I'm going to get my nights back. He expects that to happen. People are texting me in, no, not an end to the days of our Milton. Oh, it'll continue. There's no doubt in my mind. Just the players will change, right? Just the players will change, okay? Yes, Jeff Snow will no longer be there, and he was one of the key players in days of... You know what I actually wonder? I really don't know the answer to this question. I don't want to overstate the influence the show has on anything, okay? But I know a lot of people know Days of Our Milton, and they know their perception is that the city council in Milton is dysfunctional. Because of Days of Our Milton. That's just, and my one worry is that somehow or other, in talking so much about how dysfunctional the city council was, I managed to get the people who I thought generally were on the right side of the issues vote out of office. Because if people showed up, and not trying to get rid of Jeff Snow particularly, or Roxanne Meese particularly, or Matt Jarrett particularly, they nevertheless, and Sherry Sebastio got rid, you know, they nevertheless showed up and like, I'm just voting all the incumbents out. But in any case, the Pitchfork Posse is thrilled this morning. Jerry Cooey was cooing on Facebook all last night. So it will not go away. It will not go away. I'm sure the drama will persist in Milton. It'll just be, like I said, different characters. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. Would you agree?
Yes. And also, I'll have to come up with new voices for when we act it out. The city council drama. Traffic brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still no accidents to warn you about this morning. Also, traffic is still flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, I will say this. People love what would be an epic troll of the marijuana companies if the legislature votes in only home grow and no commercial sale and personal consumption amounts. Like, they're loving this idea. That would be, oh, man. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. Right here, Andrew, and good morning. NBC News is projecting...
How to tell when the newsman's killing time.
NBC News is projecting the Republican Party will be reclaiming control of the Senate. The GOP needed to flip 2 seats. Among the big winners, Ohio Republican Bernie Moreno, who won Tuesday over incumbent Sherrod Brown. Kroger settled with 30 states that sued over the company's involvement in the opioid crisis. As a result, that company is going to have to pay $1.4 billion to the states. And seeing some Mazda recalls here, 150,000 new and recent Mazda vehicles being recalled over several issues. 80,000 vehicles over an issue with the electrical supply unit, 38,000 over a software issue that can cause the engine to stop, and 31 for another software issue that can cause a loss of power. So if you drive a Mazda, keep an eye on the mailbox.
All right. Wow. David, thanks so much for the update. 628 News Radio 92.3. Somebody texts me and says, is Matt Gaetz going to go to the Trump cabinet? So I don't think so, and I'll give you my 2 reasons why. I haven't seen the tightness persist since the allegations, investigations, denials, all that. It just seems like I haven't seen them together. I mean, maybe they're closer than it seems on the outside, but I haven't seen that. Also, though I'm still reluctant to believe it, everybody I know believes that Matt's running for governor. And why would he go join the cabinet to then run for governor? That doesn't make any sense. Now, if Trump calls, and what would his role be? You know, by the way, who's going to be the press secretary? If he would take the job, I don't think he would take the job, but Dana White. Oh, my God. You watched Dana White last night? I mean, that guy's emphatic, but I don't think he would want that job at all.
I still think of Vivek Ramaswamy would be the fun, like, to, if you really want to mess with the press, put him in as press secretary and see what happens. But yeah, and also, like, will DeSantis, will Trump try to get DeSantis to do something at the federal level? Same, I don't know. I'm really torn on that, too, because I don't want to lose him as governor, even though we're going to lose him in 2 years. I think that would be better for him because he'd still be in the news come 2028 for re-election, for running for president. I don't know. Lots of changes afoot. In case you're just waking up, the abortion measure failed, the marijuana measure failed, and Trump is the new president. And the Senate flipped to the Republicans, at least 52 seats so far. The House is still a we don't know. Seems likely that Republicans are going to retain control of the House, but that is an uncertainty. And coming up next, is this hurricane a threat to us?
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster.
I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president.
Former and now future President Donald Trump wins the election with at least 277 electoral college votes in four states still uncalled, on track to win the popular vote as well. Vice President Harris's campaign co-chair Cedric Richmond telling supporters she would not be speaking at her event in D.C. last night, but will speak today.
Not only to address her supporters, but to address the nation.
Republicans take back control of the Senate with at least 51 seats. It could end up being 56. They flip seats in West Virginia and Ohio. The winner there, Bernie Marino.
You know, we talked about wanting a red wave. I think what we have tonight is a red, white, and blue wave.
Republicans are on track to keep control of the House. It's too soon to tell. This is a Fox News alert.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got, looks like, mostly cloudy skies, 73 degrees in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Well, abortion will still be illegal after 6 weeks in Florida. It'll also still be illegal to use marijuana for recreational purposes. The controversial Amendments 3 and 4 both failed to get the needed 60% support to pass. Amendment 3 would have made it legal for marijuana, recreational marijuana use if you're 21 or over. That got 56% support. Amendment 4 would have legalized abortions until fetal viability. That got 57% support and also failed to pass. There were several other constitutional amendments also on the ballot, amendments that would have made school board races partisan and stopped public financing of elections failed to pass. Now, two amendments did pass. Amendment 2 would preserve fishing and hunting forever as a constitutional right, and Amendment 5, tying homestead tax exemptions to inflation, also passed. Well, we learned about an investigation into potential financial improprieties in the Santa Rosa County School District a few weeks ago. We're now seeing some reports from the PNJ that the school employee that was being investigated has resigned in lieu of termination. That employee has not been identified, but the school district reportedly restructured the duties of the Office of Professional Learning. The FDLE is assisting the school district with that investigation. Taking a look at some of our local election results from yesterday, Congressman Matt Gaetz retained his Florida District 1 congressional seat against Democrat Gay Valamont. Gaetz got 66% of the vote. Valamont got 34%. Gaetz was first elected back in 2016. The Escambia Board of Commissioners won't be seeing any unexpected changes. District 5 Commissioner Stephen Berry was reelected, defeating nonpartisan Joshua Robertson with 62% of the vote yesterday. Berry has held that seat now since 2012. Also, the newly appointed District 2 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger has now been elected into that seat, defeating Democrat Ron Helms with 62% of the vote. That seat had been vacant until she was appointed by the governor last month. District 1 candidate Steve Stroberger, who defeated Jeff Bergosh in the primary, got 94% of the vote, defeating a write-in candidate. In the Santa Rosa County Board of County Commissioners, District 3 candidate Rhett Rowell, who defeated James Calkins in the primary, was elected with 97% of the vote, also against a write-in candidate. And District 5 Commissioner Colton Wright was reelected into his seat, getting 92% of the vote, defeating a write-in candidate. Incumbent District 1 State Representative Michelle Salzman defeated Francine Mathis yesterday. Salzman has defeated Mathis a few times in 2020, then again in 2022. Don Gaetz is headed back to the Florida State Senate. He defeated Democrat Lisa Newell yesterday for the District 1 Senate seat, earning 65% of the vote. Gaetz previously served as the Senate president in 2012 to 2014 and served in the Senate from 2006 to 2016. Alex Andrade retaining his District 2 state representative seat, defeating Democrat Haley Morissette with 58% of the vote. As far as the Pensacola City Council goes, District 1 councilperson Jennifer Breyer and District 5 councilperson Tenyade Broughton both retaining their seats, earning 63 and 64% of the vote, respectively. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. Traffic is actually flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. Starting to see a little slowdown in the Pea Ridge area before you get to Pace. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now we've got 73 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields surged this morning as Donald Trump won the U.S. presidential election. The 10-year Treasury yield jumped 18 basis points to trade at 4.47%. This is its highest level since July. Mazda is recalling more than 150,000 vehicles, including Mazda CX-70 and CX-90 models. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said during vehicle startup, the defroster, seatbelt warning, and more may not function properly, which could increase the risk of a crash. Google has been moderating and removing employees' internal election-related conversations. That's according to CNBC. Despite the warnings, employees continued posting memes related to the election and criticizing the company's policies. Google said it is taking expanded action because it is a trusted source of information for voters. Futures are sharply higher after Donald Trump's presidential election win. The Dow up by more than 1,200 points. That's Your Money Now.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
WSRE PBS invites you to attend the Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration, a Foo Foo Fest event featuring New York's Sing Harlem Choir, other feature performances, and the Joyful Noise Gospel Competition among local music groups. This afternoon of inspiring song is happening at the Pensacola High School Auditorium from noon till 5 on Saturday, November 9th. Admission is free, and there'll be food trucks on site. Don't miss WSRE's Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration on Saturday.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing all things Thanksgiving, Atlas Beverage Class, flavors that forge the South dinner at Jackson's, Burger and Brew at Atlas, and Angelina's new fall menu debut, along with holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Surprised that we got the rainstorm yesterday, like in the middle of it. And by the way, at my polling place, there was a dear lady out with a sign about pray and trust God, and she stood through the rain. And when I went back several hours later with my other son, you know, she was still out there. I just thought, you know, hey, that's devotion. Joining us now, we have Director of Public Safety in Escambia County, Eric Gilmore. That means he oversees the emergency response. He oversees the EMS, Emergency Medical Service, the ambulances, Escambia County Fire Rescue, kind of coordinates a whole bunch of things that are essential services for Escambia County. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So yesterday I called you. And I was looking at Rafael that had become a hurricane and is expected to be still a hurricane, pass over Cuba, do horrible damage to some of the islands there. And, you know, it's really, really bad for them. But then it's got this weird pattern to go into the Gulf and then kind of get sheared down to a tropical storm. And then where it goes after that, God only knows. And I called you because the two things that I have learned over the last couple of storms is we're pretty good at the cone. We're pretty totally terrible at figuring out how strong a storm is going to be. And everybody was acting like this wasn't going to be a big deal, and I hoped that would be the case. But I know that's been wrong in the past. And I said to you, we're good at path. We're terrible at intensity. How worried are you about this storm? And your answer to me at the time was, on a 1 to 10 scale, you said?
I said a 4.
And I said, no! It's 1 or 2, man. 1 or 2.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you were a 4, and you freaked me out a little bit at 4. Where are you at this morning?
I am actually at a 1, to be honest with you. Things have gotten better.
Hold on. I actually said about half an hour ago, Director of Public Safety never says a 1. They always are going to say a 2.
I'm just saying a 1.
That's fantastic news. But go on, explain. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
So you know, we use the GFS and we use the European models to determine what this thing's going to do or what these storms are going to do. And as of yesterday afternoon, they were not lining up. And when you get the GFS and European telling you two different things, and the GFS has been bullish all season long, and when we say that, it's just been aggressive. The GFS had Rafael coming into, you know, Mississippi, Louisiana area. And you typically, when it does that, the storm blows out. So you would get the bad side of the storm. And we get all the strong bands of thunderstorms and tornadoes.
Yep.
And then the European had the storm get into the Gulf and then taking a west return and going to Texas, Mexico and dissipating. Now, the whole time they're saying the Gulf waters are cooler, and they're correct. And that we had some wind shear, and they're correct, but we all know that they've been very good about where the track of the storm goes, but they haven't been that good on the intensity. So that's, you know, that's always the concern, is you always want to overplan for what they're saying. So you tell me it's a tropical storm, I'm going to plan for at least a category. We learned this during Sally. We don't take that lesson lightly.
Yeah.
So that's why we always go a little higher than what it is. So because the GFS and the European was not lining up, it was a bit of concern there. It's still up in the air where it can go. This morning, the track and the GFS and the European are actually lining up and taking that western turn, so we're feeling very confident on that track. We still think it'll blow apart and dissipate, and we'll get some rain out of it, which we need the rain. We're not going to complain about that. We'll see some high surf, rip currents, and some coastal flooding. But beyond that, that's the difference between yesterday and today. And all season long, the GFS has been really good about predicting a storm out of a blob, out of a, you know, area of thunderstorms and everything. The European has not, but once that storm develops, the European takes over and does a better track than the GFS. That's been all season long. So you got to take both those models in consideration. You got to kind of weigh them out and then go from there. But until they start aligning, you really don't know. And this morning they started lining up. So it's good morning. They're lining up. And we'll go get some rain out of it.
Okay. Well, I will take that because I know the GFS one was like, it was the weirdest looking plot ever where it would basically go northwest, bend around on a semicircle once it cleared Cuba, and then basically sit on top of New Orleans and draw a child squiggle all over it. Was what it was looking like. Exactly. It's going to go all over the place over there, back and forth and whatnot. And I don't know. So it's good to hear. Can you, this might be useful for a second. The terms insiders use, okay, European model, GFS, whatever. Can you just take a second and explain the difference? Because a lot of people may not know.
Yeah, so this is the models. There's a ton of models out there.
Sure.
And inside the models, there's a lot of models inside. So when you see the spaghetti models, that's what we talk about. That's the models we're talking about. What you do is they take a multitude of runs for the GFS, and they'll run it all over the place, and then they'll take the median, they'll take the middle line, and say, this is what a GFS is predicting. Then they'll
do
the same for the European.
Yeah.
The average, exactly. So it's the congregate of the entire model run. So, you know, they've been showing the spaghetti models all week long, and you'll see it on social media. But you got to, is that the GFS model with all its runs, or is that just where they took the median for the GFS and said this is where it's going to go? So you got to look at the data and see what they're referencing. When we do the spaghetti models, we're talking GFS, NAM, European. These are all the big models.
But that's what I mean. What's the difference with the European for people? Again, you know, does that mean that there's people in Sweden that are running these models? What does that mean?
Well, to answer that one, I'd have to have Scotland. She's my, you know, I go to Scotland for those technical questions like that. I can't absolutely answer that question for you. I just know it's a different group that's running the modeling for those particular models. And by the way, I don't know either.
That's why I ask, because we always use these terms. I'm like, I don't really know the answer to this question. Maybe Eric will know. So, fair enough.
Well, did I answer your question? So I will get Scotland to give me the answer for that in the morning, and I'll text it to you or email it to you, and that way you can have it and give it out to the listeners.
Okay. No, excellent. So again, the takeaway though is some rain, and that's about it. And don't be concerned. But if you've got relatives in, you know, Texas or Western Louisiana, you know, be concerned for them for sure. We got Eric Gilmore on the line, Director of Public Safety in Escambia County. I have a couple of other things on different matters I want to talk with you. I never have nothing to talk with you about. So hang on for me for just a second. Let's get John Pickens in here with Traffic on the Fives. John?
We are still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Just seeing some minor slowdowns as you head from Pace into Pensacola right there at the 9 Mile and Scenic split off right there. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety in Escambia County. You guys have some stuff on the agenda for tomorrow, I think, some apparatus purchases. Is that right?
That is correct. We were fortunate to get some of the ARPA funds. We're looking at purchasing five fire apparatus, one platform truck and four engines. Yes, sir. Five.
I'm sorry, I talked over you. Five is a ladder truck and four engines. Is that what you said?
That is correct. So it's absolutely. It's going to bolster our fleet even more, and that's exciting for us. We've already the board previously. We've been buying apparatus all along. And we were in a dire need for it, and we are getting the apparatus we need, and the board is giving us the money to do it, and appreciate that, and that's been very helpful in getting what we need as far as our fire guys and the equipment they need to respond to calls. Also, we have another ambulance on the board for tomorrow, so we're getting it. That'll be the fifth ambulance in the past two board meetings that we'll be getting on top of that, and
as
we're
a physical truck,
some more. So. A physical truck, yes.
Okay.
A physical truck. So so we're excited. We're getting a multitude of apparatus. We're getting for EMS and fire, which is, you know, greatly needed to bolster the fleet for EMS so we can add more people, because if I don't have trucks, it doesn't make sense to have the people. So having the equipment absolutely is a good thing for us, so we can add more people to the staffing levels and get the trucks on the road and cover the calls we need to cover. So.
And funding for this is coming out of local option sales tax?
ARPA.
Oh, it's ARPA. You said ARPA. That's right.
Coming out of, yes, sir. It is ARPA. It's ARPA funded. So it's some of the funds that Public Works or engineering has gotten a lot of the money for infrastructure and everything. And there was some money that they had identified and earmarked for us for public safety, which is one of the big spending things for the ARPA funds. And we're buying apparatus with it and some odds and ends equipment for our USAR teams, our urban search and rescue teams. So technical equipment for those guys as well. So we're really excited to be able to afford the opportunity to buy this stuff.
And is this replacement equipment for things that are aging out, or is this expansion of the functional fleet?
So for the ambulances, it will be an expansion of the existing fleet. We will have some one-offs where we'll get rid of some older ambulances. For the fire, it will be a replacement of some of the existing equipment, taking some of our older trucks out of service.
Did you almost say putting them down?
I did say almost putting them down. So putting down old fire trucks, taking out of service anyway. So we'll be bolstering our fleet with new equipment and everything, and then the rescue equipment will be in conjunction to what we already have to bolster our technical capabilities for technical rescue.
And by the way, just it's not a thing we talk about a whole lot, but I always feel the need to help people kind of get a better grasp of things. And one of the things I don't think people maybe realize is, okay, so if EMS can't respond to a call for a health call, then you send out a fire crew, right? Okay, and sometimes they go in just a truck. If they don't have a truck, they go in, fire apparatus. They go in a fire engine. And so to the degree that until EMS can get there, because they can't fire can't transport, okay, to a hospital. So right. What happens is if you don't have enough EMS, either teams, personnel, or trucks out, and you have a surplus of calls, what winds up is the fire is covering, but that puts miles and stress and wear on the fire apparatus. It means that they don't have as long of a lifespan. So the more staff you get and equipment you get on EMS side, the longer your fire trucks are going to last. So there is definitely a big cost to replace a fire engine. So it matters on the EMS side, the impact on fire. Did I say anything wrong?
No, you are absolutely on spot there. Those two organizations are symbiotic of each other,
right.
And one affects the other. They do. They really revolve around each other and make sure that they're working together. And if I don't have to send that fire truck, then that's less miles on that truck,
right?
Versus having to send the fire truck every time to a med call. You're absolutely right. So, and our fire guys do a good job at supporting our EMS and backing them up, because they can't transport, but they are. First, they can BLS to it, which is basic life support, or ALS to it, because we do have fire medics and help out EMS. So, we're trying to bolster our EMS system, so we don't have to put those fire trucks on the road, and wear and tear on those trucks unnecessarily.
Very good. Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you is, and I don't really want to steal her thunder on this, but Ashley Hoffberger, who is now the commissioner-elect, who's already been appointed, so there'll be no transition. One of her key issues was EMS, right? As we all know, her terrible story that she had with her child. And she made a comment in one of the debates that I thought was so interesting. She said, instead of, for example, staff and unions having to come and beg for pay, and EMS and fire having to come and beg for apparatus and expansion of firehouses or expansion of teams or, you know, any of that stuff, it really ought to be pretty simple. We've expanded this area is building houses, or we have expanded, you know, the total population. We ought to have in place a plan that when we go up by this many thousand people, we go up by this many fire and EMS. And it ought to be a planned strategy that you can then, you know, put money in the bank and prepare for. And instead of always trying to react to a shortage and a crisis and a need, you're really planning to go along with the growth and development. I assume, because I know your mindset, I assume that way of doing these things is 100% music to your ears.
It is. We always like to plan. You're absolutely right. And, of course, we're growing in Escambia County, and we want to meet the needs. So having a plan in place and having and I look forward to working with her and seeing her strategy or set those benchmarks and seeing where we can go with that. But you're absolutely right. I'm a planner by trade.
Right.
I'm an ops guy, but I also like to plan and make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing to get the service out there.
You know, take this. Don't take this as a joke, but I mean it seriously. As a fire guy, you would much rather prevent the fires and put them out. And that's true whether you're talking about fire or whether you're talking about EMS and fire response, across the board, hurricane prep and everything else. Am I right?
Absolutely. That's across the board public safety. We like
Amen.
To be prepared. Absolutely. That's why we do pre-fire plans. That's why we do preventative measures for absolutely. We try to do pre-stuff. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Eric Gilmore, I always appreciate you being so available. I super appreciate the good news this morning about this storm for us anyway. I will take that for sure. Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety in Escambia County. Sir, talk to you again soon. Again, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
You bet. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide, you know, if now is the right time, if later is the right time. I was actually listening to Christina Leavenworth on Pep Talk the other day, and she was saying, honestly, not a great idea to list a home right now. You know, wait till January. It's better. We sell a lot of homes in January. We don't sell as many homes now because people are thinking about the holidays and vacation, and they've got family in town, and it's just kind of, it's not the ideal environment. Well, that's the kind of advice you need, right? Somebody who really sees how markets work and how real estate works and when are you going to get your, because, you know, if you're selling a home, you want competition, and if you only get one or two offers, you maybe don't get as good a price, but if you wait until January, you get a better. I mean, that's the point. You want somebody who's going to know how this stuff works so they can give you the best professional advice on how to make, you know, what you want happen. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Sold 175 homes last year, on track to be about that same amount this year in a market that's kind of been wobbly, you know, recently. And all kinds of other things that you get with their expertise of how to solve problems, avoid problems when you're getting to closing, and even know how to answer questions that the buyer might ask you, like, do I have to replace the roof? Well, she'll know whether you do. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Traffic on the fives now with John Pickens.
That's right. We've got one accident to let you know about. It's a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock at Kim Strand Road and East 10 Mile Road. That just happened. First responders are almost on the scene, but it does have roadblock associated with it, so you definitely want to plan around that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
An official message from Medicare.
A couple more minutes and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Tell me, what you gonna do? Tell me, pretty baby, 'cause I'm still in love with you. Come back. Come back.
Well, Mr. President, I appreciate you allowing me to join you on this incredible journey. I thank you for the trust that you placed in me. And I think that we just witnessed the greatest political comeback in the history of the United States of America.
Can so do topical bumpers. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Elon Musk says that President Donald Trump has been given a crystal clear mandate by the American people. He reacted to Trump's win overnight on X. Musk celebrated Trump's victory and wrote, "The future is going to be fantastic." Also, he posted a graph that showed record usage of X on Election Day.
Yeah, and Trump spent a lot of time in his victory speech before it was even announced by the other by the networks talking about Elon Musk and his love for him, and so the role he's going to have in the administration, TBD. John F. Kennedy Jr., you know, his role in the administration. Dana White as press secretary. I mean, all kinds of things could happen. You never know.